It was Palm Sunday, like it is today. But Jimmy was sick, and so he had to stay home. He couldn't go to church, and his mother stayed with him. His father went to Mass on Sunday, and after Mass, he came home, and he was holding a palm branch in his hand, like many of you are. And his little boy was curious and said, "Daddy, what are you holding that branch for?" Well, his father explained, "Well, you see, when Jesus came into town, everyone had these branches, and they were waving at him and honoring him as he came." "Really?" Jimmy grumbled. "I can't believe it. The one Sunday I can't go to church and Jesus shows up." Oh, through the eyes of a child. Jesus shows up. Well, that summarizes today, what happened years ago, what happens every time we gather in the name of Jesus. In fact, it really summarizes all of Holy Week. Jesus shows up to Jerusalem for a single purpose, to finish the work that his Father had committed him to. Matthew's account of the Palm Sunday event informs us that as Jesus and the crowds that were following him entered into the holy city of Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred up. And the literal Greek there means they were quaking in their boots. They were shaking and asking the question, "Who is this man? It looks the whole world has gone after him. Who is this?" That is a question perhaps asked by some of you here this morning. It's a question asked by many, many people in our world throughout the centuries and in our culture. Who is this Jesus of Nazareth? This week answers that question. Palm Sunday begins with Jesus coming down from the Mount of Olives, descending into the Kidron Valley with the brook there in the bottom. He then would enter into the holy city and into the precincts of the incredible, beautiful temple that Herod had basically rebuilt. According to the historians of the time, the temple was a spectacular sight. It was made of gleaming white, and the roof that Herod had put on the temple was 100% batted gold. Historians tell us that for miles in the distance, you could see the gleaming of that golden-clad temple. And there Jesus enters it and enters its precincts that Palm Sunday. And he comes down on the back of a donkey through the cheering crowds. I think it's very significant, even the words that the evangelist uses, that he was coming down. In the creed that we're going to confess in just a few moments, we talk about Jesus, that he came down from heaven and became man. The Apostle Paul, in our second reading, puts it like this: Christ Jesus was fully God, he was fully divine, but he didn't cling to his divinity. He emptied himself and assumed the condition of a slave and became fully human and humbled himself to the point of death, even death by crucifixion. Who is this? This is the one who fulfills all of the prophecies of Scripture. "Hosanna to the Son of David." We heard that in the gospel. "Blessed be the coming of the Son of David." The Son of David. Yes, he's the Messiah, the long-awaited Messiah, the King of Israel. He's come to rescue his people. But he's more than that. He comes as the second Adam. As Paul would say in Romans, he is the representative of all humanity, of all of us. He comes as the second Noah, who carries in the ark of his body all of humanity and all of creation. He comes as the priest, after the order of Melchizedek, to make the final sacrifice. He comes as the long-promised seed of Abraham, in whom all of the nations of the earth will be blessed. This is the prophet, the crowds declared on that Palm Sunday, because he is the new Moses, ready to lead his people through the seas of death into the new creation of life eternal. He comes as John the Baptist declared at the beginning of Jesus' ministry in his baptism. He is the Passover Lamb, the Lamb of God, who will take away the sins of the world. The Son of God, who comes down from heaven, takes our very nature, our flesh and blood, and embraces all of us in order to, as the Scriptures had declared, gather into one all of the scattered children of God through the sacrament of his body and blood that he gave to his church on that holy Thursday evening. God comes down, carried on the back of a donkey, carrying all of us. And what was in the heart of Jesus as he descended? What was he thinking? Luke's gospel tells us that on his descent from the Mount of Olives, Jesus stopped, he paused, and he began to weep. And he said, "How often I have longed to gather your children together as a hen gathers all of her chicks under her wings, but you were not willing." Our Lord's sacred heart was agonizing with the compassion of God for his people, all his people. He doesn't come on a horse, a horse meant for battle, horse meant for war, for the shedding of blood. But he comes on a beast of burden as the King of peace, making peace with God through his blood. It was in Gethsemane that Jesus would pray with every one of us who struggles with the thought of death and abandonment of ourselves or for our loved ones, for our friends. He struggles with all of us in the face of that. And in the end, he submits freely to the will of his Father. He will drink the cup that is filled with human misery, human suffering, human despair. Isaiah prophesied, "Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows." He even experienced our alienation from our Creator God. For he cries out in the midst of the darkness on that cross, "Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani?" "My God, My God, why have you abandoned me? Have any of you ever felt abandoned by God? He was there for you. He took all of our sin, all of the crap of our lives, all of our lies and deceit, all of our lusts, all of it. He took it with him into death. And when he breathes his last, he commits himself and commits all of us to our Heavenly Father. He loves us to the end as he prays, Father, into thy hands I commit my spirit. Who is this man? He is the one who descended that hill on the back of a donkey, a beast of burden, carrying all of us. He descends with you into your world, to our world. A world that at times is so disfigured and dysfunctional. Into the valleys of our shadows of death and fear. But his story doesn't end on the cross. It wasn't just a mishap of Roman justice or injustice. For the Father heard his pleas. And on the third day, everything changed. He was raised from the dead. Jesus takes what is ours. And he offers to you and me at every Mass, at every gathering around him, himself, what is his body and his blood. The only thing we have to do this Holy Week is to receive simply the gift that he offers to us. All we need do is place ourselves exactly where God has already placed us, in his Son, Jesus Christ, in his body. Now, I got to say, there's probably some of you right now hearing my voice. You may be like Judas, or the Sanhedrin, or the crowds that were shouting for his death, get rid of him. Or Pilate, who washed his hands of him. Or the soldiers who mocked him. You can hold yourself outside of him and refuse to receive the gift. Or you can go inside. You can go into Christ and his body, like our Holy Mother did, and the beloved disciple who stood at the foot of his cross. Or like the thief on the cross who said, remember me, Jesus, in your kingdom. Or the centurion who witnessed his death and said, truly, this was the Son of God. Or like Simon of Cyrene, carried Jesus' cross. Or Joseph of Arimathea, who held the body of Jesus and offered his tomb Or like the women who go to the empty tomb that Sunday morning with a startling surprise. Or like Peter, who after his failures and tears finds redemption and forgiveness. Or even like the donkey. We can go with him and receive the gift he offers us, the gift of forgiveness and life. Who is this? He is Jesus, the name that is above all names, the name in which everyone in heaven and on earth and under the earth will bow and prostrate themselves. He is Jesus, our Lord and our Savior. He is the fulfillment of the prophecy of Emmanuel. God with us. God for us. And he asks you this one final question. Will you follow me?